Due to technical difficulties, portions of this audio recording are not available. We apologize for any inconvenience, but thank you for taking the time to listen.
A way out, but not in despair. He was able to get, he did not get out. The Spirit of God led him. And then it goes on in verse 9 and it says, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. He was persecuted, pursued by enemies, but he was not forsaken. He was not alone. He was not overtaken by the enemies. When he was in prison, he could write to the Philippians. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the places and in all other places. Even when he was in prison, he could always say that the Lord stood by him. Cast down, but not destroyed. This is tremendous. He was smitten down. The enemy got him down, but the enemy did not destroy him or kill him. Actually, in all these phrases, Paul's making a play on words which is lost in the translation into English. If I could paraphrase it in English, it would be something like this. I am struck down, but I'm not struck out. Even at the end of his life, Paul could say, I have finished the course. Paul seems to be fighting a losing battle. Can't you sense that this man is very weak? And yet in his weakness, he is strong. If we could have seen this little, crippled, weak, sickly Jew up against the mighty juggernaut of Roman power, we have concluded that he was nothing. But the fact is, he even brought a message that withered the Roman Empire. Even the historian Gibbon said that the Roman Empire could not stand up against the preaching of the gospel of Christ. And you know, today, even in the world today, the gospel still continues to topple thrones. Paul seemed to be so weak, and yet God delivered him again and again. He used miraculous means, and he also used natural means. God will never forsake his servants. Isn't that a wonderful thought when we stop to think that God will never forsake us? You and I today are living in a day of compromise, a day when things aren't the way that we think they should be, a day when we seem to measure a man by how popular he is or how many friends that he has. I also think you can measure a man by the enemies he has. And so it's important to make the right kind of enemies. Jesus said that even if we would love him and follow him, the world will hate us. Paul had the right kind of enemies. And then he says in verse 10, always bearing again in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Remember that in 1 Corinthians 15:31, Paul could say that he died daily. In Romans 8:36, he wrote, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted for sheep for the slaughter. In 1 Corinthians 4:9, he wrote, for I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. Christians, we do not need to be afraid to suffer. Jesus said the world will hate us if we are following him. And you know, it's wonderful to take our place with the Lord Jesus Christ in these days. The test of our ministry is not stars, but scars. Galatians 6:17 says, "From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." 2 Corinthians 4:11, it says, For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Until you are prepared to die, you really aren't prepared to live. Likewise, we may actually be the strongest at the moment we feel the weakest, for that is when we are more about the Lord and less about ourselves. He must increase, and I must decrease. And so then death worketh in us, but life in you. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 12 to 14, it says, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you." You know, it's interesting to note here, and this is very important to see, that Paul did not consider death to be the end. He is looking on beyond. Death is merely one of the experiences which he will have. And in the next chapter, he will speak of the comfort found in martyrdom for Christ. There is a comfort in laying down your life for Jesus' sake. And he's saying here that he is joined to a living Christ. He is dead to the things of the world, because he is joined to a living Christ. "He which raised up the Lord shall raise up us also by Jesus. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant..." "That the abundant grace might be the thanksgiving of many redundant to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Those are wonderful verses. And as we grow older, we sort of begin to die out as far as our body is concerned. However, we grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. These old bodies that we have are dying. And I can tell it all over. You know, I'm 82 years old now, and I'm ready to trade this old body in for a new one. But, you know, I can tell all over that this old body's beginning to waste away. But the inward man is renewed day by day. And you know, I feel closer to the Lord today than I did the day I entered the ministry over 50 years ago. I was young then, and I had a lot of enthusiasm. But I didn't know very much. What a stumbler I was, and how often I failed. I was a real ignoramus then. But now I know a little more, and I've grown a little. Down through the years, day by day, one day at a time. No matter how wealthy or gifted you are, nobody can live 2 days at a time. The Lord told us to pray for daily bread, and he said he would give us strength for each day. Deuteronomy 33:25, it says, "Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days shall thy strength be." Hebrews 4:16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Yard by yard, life is hard. Inch by inch, life's a cinch. So don't stare up the stairs, just step up the steps. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are temporal. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The invisible world is only the real world. And if we could see the world the way God sees it, we wouldn't be attracted to it. I know all the years that I've been on this earth, I'm seeing things today that I thought I'd never see in my lifetime. We're seeing all kinds of things today. 1 John 2:15, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." 1 John 2:16, it says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." 1 John 2:17, it says, "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Hebrews 11:10, it says, "For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." This is about Abraham. Since he was looking for the city he could not see, he wasn't drawn to Sodom. But Lot was looking for the world and didn't want to leave. Hebrews 11:1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Verse 13 of chapter 11 of Hebrews, it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but have seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." And then verse 14 of chapter 11, it says, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." And then it says of Moses in verse 27, "By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." You know, I'm thankful for eyesight and would not want to be blind. I remember years ago in one church that I pastored, my wife had a little boy in her Sunday school class, and his name was Lyle. And he was sitting in Sunday school one Sunday morning, and all of a sudden he started clapping his hands. And my wife looked down at him, and she said, "What's wrong, Lyle?" And he said, "I was just thinking how good God is to me." And there was a little blind boy, and he was thankful for God. You know, and yet there is an advantage that blind Christians will testify of, not being so drawn in with the facade of the world that the devil controls around us. The best of God's creation is found in things we cannot yet see with our eyes. But one day we will. One day we will. And then verse 18 talks about the temporal and the eternal. He makes a contrast. Down here we seem to have a lot of trouble, don't we? We have a lot of trouble down here. And my, it seems to last a long time, doesn't it? It seems so hard. I can remember back in 2008, my first wife, and that was a terrible year. And I prayed and prayed to the Lord that he would heal her and make her well. But it wasn't his will. And he took her home. And so there's hard times in life, aren't there? We go through hard times. And then God blessed me with another wife, and we were together for 10 years, and God took her home. And you know, when we begin to measure it by the weight of glory that is coming someday, those little afflictions and light afflictions that we go through are nothing compared to the weight of glory. For every ounce you tote on earth will receive a ton of reward in heaven. Psalm 90, verse 9, it says, we spend our years as a tale that is told. Verse 9 of Psalm 90, it says, our years pass as a watch in the night. For our light affliction, which is but a moment, worketh for us a far exceeding and eternal weight of glory. We are not to fix our gaze on the things which are seen. These things that we see around us, they're all passing away. The things which are not seen are eternal. And I'm looking for that city whose builder and maker is God. I want to see the invisible. I know the spirit around me, world around me is real. There is a great battle going on in the air, especially in moments like this when we preach the word, and also when we go out into this world and indulge our flesh. Everywhere and all times, the battle rages. But this morning, let's not get caught up in the temporal trappings of the world. Let's look forward to the things that God has for us. You know, God is an awesome God. And our trials work for us, not against us. You know, it's when we're down and out, it seems that that's the time that we really get close to God. And then when we get up on the mountaintop, we can rejoice at those hard times that we went through. You see, God is behind it all, working things according to his will and for his glory and for our good. The invisible world is the only real world. And so this morning, no matter what you're facing, no matter what I'm facing, no matter what's going on in this world, we may be down, but we're not out. And as verse 8 says, we are troubled on every side, and yet we're not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're cast down and not destroyed. And so, look on Jesus. Look on Jesus this morning. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Father, we thank you this morning for your word and for what you teach us. And Father, we thank you that when things don't go the way that we think they should, that we can turn them over to you. And Father, if there's one here this morning that does not know you as Lord and Savior, we ask you this morning to speak to their heart, and may they receive you this morning. For it's in your name we ask. Amen.